To start with, this lesson is entitled Enter Into His Rest. And in Hebrews 4:1, there is an announcement that there is a promise left to us. And that's you and me. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 3, verses 17 through 19. Greetings, kindred and fellow sheep. How do we know we're sheep? Because the Lord is our shepherd. We shall not want. Dr. Douglas Frank, who works with Mike Lindell, has a small team of people who assist volunteers in the over 3,000 counties in America who request assistance in learning how to do one election day hand counts of paper ballots in their counties with photo ID checks of voters registered. In every county in which they have been invited to help without exception, he reports, Dr. Douglas Frank, the existence of spiritual warfare of monstrous proportions. In every county Dr. Frank's team has visited, there are single mothers with multiple children who bring them to quote-unquote managers to receive money from pedophile rings to support their drug addictions. Once snared in these rings, they cannot escape. Should they fail to bring the children, the cartels murder the entire known families of their drug-addicted members who are unfortunate enough to have daughters or mothers strung out. Even when they have total obedience, the pedophile cartels occasionally murder an entire family who have obediently complied in order to keep the others in terror. The hands of law enforcement are tied for two reasons. First, if they break up any part of the ring, the families are wiped out. And second, every law enforcement entity in the county has a few members who are pedophiles. Innocent members of families in every one of these counties are living day to day in a captivity of terror beyond all imagination of any racket ever run in the history of any neighborhood. Law enforcement is necessarily limited to protect the lives of people living in a misery understandable only by the victims. And this is necessarily a spiritual battle. Pedophilia ministers an entrance into the bodies of our children for demons and unclean spirits. It disturbs the balance of Adamic body function in children whose reproductive organs are immature. It so shocks their systems. The cruelty of this warfare against the direct lineal descendants of Adam is now on open display against American Israel. And those of us who have no interest in matters of eternal importance will scoff at us and mock us for trying to warn the unwary. Are we willing to live as if the battle belongs to the Lord? Shall we do Hebrews chapter 3, verses 17 through 19 as a responsive reading? Classmates, would you take the odd-numbered verses? Would you let me respond with the even-numbered verse 18? We're in Hebrews chapter 3. You have verse 17. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom sware he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see they could not enter in because of unbelief. Quote, they could not enter in because of unbelief, unquote. Does that sound like our counties? Did we see before we read these verses that potentially every county in America has no rest? Do we have some witnesses in the scriptures that would testify to the nature and cause of his rest. Let's go to Numbers, the fourth book of Moses, the book of Numbers, chapter 14. We'll be looking at verses 31 and 34. The Lord himself is the witness in Numbers chapter 14. And he pronounces a sentence against the rebels. Classmates, would you take the odd-numbered verses? Would you let me respond with the even-numbered verses? We're in Numbers chapter 14. You read first, verse 31. But your little ones, which he said should be a prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which ye have despised. This is, of course, the rebellion of 10 of the 12 spies. But as for you, your carcasses, they shall fall in this wilderness, and your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years and bear your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. After the number of the days in which ye searched the land, even 40 days, each day for a year, shall ye bear your iniquities, even 40 years, and ye shall know my breach of promise. Quote, ye shall know my breach of promise, unquote. Have we ever broken a promise we made to our Father? Are we, as God's people, promise breachers? Have many of us done it 10 times? Would the God of the Bible be just in sending judgment upon our land? Let's go to Joshua, first book after the 5 books of Moses. The book of Joshua, chapter 23, verse number 1. What about the, quote-unquote, little ones? The children of those whose carcasses were, quote-unquote, wasted in the wilderness? The Joshua generation. What is their record? Let us read out of Joshua chapter 23, the first verse. And it came to pass a long time after that the Lord had given rest unto Israel from all their enemies round about, that Joshua waxed old and stricken in age. Time's passing. The Joshua generation entered into his rest. Let's go to chapter 24 in Joshua. Take a look at verse 20. Did Joshua, before he passed, give his generation a warning? Let us read in unison out of Joshua 24, verse 20. If ye forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that he hath done you good. Quote, he will turn and do you hurt. Does that sound like a mean heavenly father? Or is that a righteous father desperately chastising his children to bring them back to life and away from death? Did Joshua's generation heed his warning? Let's go to verse 31 in Joshua 24. Did the Holy Spirit have a call upon the congregation known as the Joshua generation? Let us read together in unison, verse 31. And Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that overlived Joshua, and which had known all the works of the Lord that he had done for Israel. Could we in America do as well today? Let's go to the next book, Judges. Judges chapter 2. Verses 10 through 13. How long did Israel serve the Lord? We're looking at verses 10 through 13. Classmates, would you take the even-numbered verses and let me respond with the odd-numbered verses? You read first verse 10. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and served Baalim. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods, of the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger. And they forsook the Lord, and served Baal and Ashtaroth. They served Baal and Ashtaroth. Does American Israel serve Baal and Ashtaroth today? Before we say, of course not, we might want to consider some things that are not preached from American pulpits. My reference for this evidence is a two-volume work called The Book of Days, which documents the heathen customs and the gods the world worships for every day of the year. I mean every day. This is on the shelf of our public library in Indiana. I won't tell you which one. I don't want it to see it disappear. Satan Claus is the express image of Baal. And Ashtaroth, one of the many names for the goddess of fertility, eggs and rabbits, is the source for the English word Easter. Let's go to Ecclesiastes, the poetry of the Bible, the book of Ecclesiastes. I think that was the last one that Solomon wrote before he died. It was his repentance at the end of his life for the sins he led Israel into. We'll be looking at verse 9. Are we immune from what the people of God did in the time of Judges? Let us read from Ecclesiastes chapter 1 in unison, verse 9. The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done, and there is no new thing under the sun. So America is not doing any new thing. Quote, there is no new thing under the sun, unquote. If we are God's family, are we subject to the same frailties to which other family members were subject? Are we? Is carnal nature predictable? Does the Joshua generation of Israel's rest, quote, from all their enemies round about, unquote, remind us of a scripture in Proverbs, the book of Proverbs, chapter 16? And I thank you for following along in your own swords. You're becoming familiar with one of the great weapons you can wield as part of the armor of God. Take a look at verse 7. Let us share the reading on Proverbs 16, verse 7. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Do I want to, quote unquote, enter into his rest? Do you want to, quote unquote, enter into his rest? Do we, each in our own counties, want to, quote unquote, enter into his rest? Shall we return to Hebrews to see if we can gain, quote, all the counsel of God, a quote from Acts 20, verse 27, with respect to entering into his rest? Let's go to Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Do verses 1 and 2 describe how the next generation missed out on entering into his rest? Remember that generation in Judges? Verse 1 of Hebrews chapter 4 is our signature scripture for this lesson. May we stand in honor of the Word of God and recite together in unison out of Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 1. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Thank you. Please be seated. The only one I have ever heard preach this type of lesson out of Hebrews, involving the context of Hebrews 3:16 to Hebrews 4:16, in all the gospel of the kingdom, is Pastor Jerry Wickey. He did it on several different occasions, and his lessons had a profound impact upon me. It took me a while to put this together because I had to do it in a way that fit me. It had to come from me in a special way. And I really needed his help to get it organized. Why should we come short of any of the precious promises of God? Classmates, you have verse 2. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Those of you that were here for our lesson, the same, we'll recall that we learned the gospel of the kingdom was preached unto God's family under the old covenant, as well as God's family under the new covenant. Quote, the word preached did not profit them, unquote. Why not? How much preaching falls on ears dull of hearing and slow of heart to believe, quotes from Luke chapter 24. Can we see that unbelief is fatal to entering into his rest? Let's go to the second gospel, the gospel of Mark, chapter number 9. A father brought his son, possessed of a dumb spirit that often cast him into fires and water to destroy him, because the disciples could not cast out that foul spirit. We're looking at verses 23 through 27 in Mark chapter 9. Classmates, let me take the odd-numbered verses. Would you please respond with the even-numbered verses? We're in Mark chapter 9. I read first verse 23. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. Quote, help thou mine unbelief, unquote. Can we pray like the father of that child did? Look in Hebrews chapter 4 at the next verse, verse 3. Let us read this together in unison, verse 3. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Huh? What works? Whose works? Look at verse 4. Let's share that, verse 4. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. Is that certain place in our scriptures? The indefinite pronoun, Greek word 4225, pu, whose translation is, quote unquote, certain place, has the meaning of very near to us. Look at verse 5. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Where's that come from? Where's that certain place? Let's go to the book of Psalms. The 95th Psalm, or as it's delineated in our Bibles, chapter 95. This is the 95th Psalm. Look at verses 7 through 11. Let me take the odd-numbered verses. Would you respond with the even-numbered verses? Classmates, you are my classmates in God's classroom. We're sharing the reading. Is this place in truth in our scriptures? I start verse 7. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Pastor James? We had that verse before during the singing of the hymns. Today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the day of provocation and as in the day of temptation in the wilderness when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation and said, it is a people that do err in their heart and they have not known my ways. Are we at the quote-unquote certain place? Let us recite in unison verse 11. Unto whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 4. The general epistle to the Hebrews. Why is that addressed to us? Was Abram a Jew? Was he in Hebrew? Father Abraham had many sons, and many sons had Father Abraham, and I am one of them, and so are you. So let's just praise the Lord. His choice for us. Does the God of the Bible liken his rest unto another rest? Let me read verse 6 in Hebrews chapter 4. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Is unbelief fatal to entering into his rest? Classmates, you have verse 7. Again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. What a certain day. I'm reading verse 8. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? What other day? Classmate, you have verse 9. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. Does this quote unquote rest remaineth to us? Let's share verse 10. For he that has entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Does it raise a couple of questions? When did God cease from his own works? Does that go back to Genesis? How about chapter 2, verses 2 and 3? When God ceased from his own works, was that the seventh day? Classmates, out of Genesis chapter 2, let me read verse 2. Would you respond with verse 3? We're in Genesis, the second chapter. I read first verse 2. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. Quote, because that in it he had rested, unquote. Does the God of all creation grow weary and get tired? That's laughable, isn't it? How well does the concept of the God of the Bible, who is all-powerful, all-knowing, and ever-present, harmonize with the God of all creation growing weary and getting tired? Let's go to the second gospel, the Gospel of Mark. This subject is covered also in the New Testament. We're in chapter 9. We're looking at verses 27 and 28. Classmates, would you let me read verse 27? Would you please respond with verse number 28? Out of Mark chapter 9, I read first verse 27. And he said unto them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. Did we hear that? Quote, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. If a child sees his father do something that is not in accord with his word, would that be an opportunity for the father to make apology to his child and immediately bring forth fruit meet for repentance and make restitution? From which do children learn most? Example? Or spoken word? Did the father, through the son, example the Sabbath that Adam, under the dominion covenant, would understand how to rule creation? Did he? Hebrews. Back to Hebrews. I hope you've been keeping a mark there. I forgot to tell you to do that. Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 10. We left verse 10 to examine two witnesses, Genesis chapter 2 and Mark chapter 9. There is a matter that awaits our understanding. Let us recite again Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 10. For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works as God did from his. What's that all about? He that has entered into his rest, dot, dot, has ceased from his own works. Does this statement startle us? Can we see ceasing from our own works admits us into, quote unquote, his rest? What? Does the key to, quote unquote, into his rest appear to be ceasing from our own works? What does ceasing from our own works mean? Let's go to the first gospel, Matthew chapter 5. This is the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 5, we'll be looking at verse number 16. Are we supposed to maintain good works? Are we? Let us read together in unison, Matthew 5, 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Let's go to Paul's epistle to Titus, chapter 2, verse 14. Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, James. Paul preached the same when he said this about, quote, our Savior Jesus Christ, unquote. In Titus chapter 2, let's share together verse number 14. Who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. In Titus, let's go to chapter 3. Take a look at verse 8. Paul covered this matter with Titus more than once. Let's share verse 8. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will, that thou affirm constantly that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. Thank you for joining me. When you're with me, I don't feel like I have to work so hard. Scroll down to verse 14 in Titus chapter 3. Should we, quote unquote, maintain good works? Verse 14. And let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses. What? That they be not unfruitful. Thank you. That we, quote, be not unfruitful. Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 24. Should we encourage others to do the same? Maintain good works. Let us read together verse 24. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. What should I do? Should I, quote, be careful to maintain good works, unquote, and, quote, unquote, provoke others to do the same? Or should I cease from my, quote, unquote, own work? Is there a second witness that I should cease from my, quote, unquote, own works? Let's go to the end time prophet Isaiah. He has something to say about our condition subsequent to the fall of Adam in the garden. We're in Isaiah chapter 64. Take a look at verse 6. Let us share verse 6 together. But we all are as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. Quote, all our righteousnesses are as filthy menstrual rags. Unquote. Book of Romans, Paul's epistle to the Romans, chapter 10. Take a look at verse 3. Could we have a third witness here? Here Paul speaks in the context of Israel being saved. Let us share together out of Romans chapter 10, verse number 3. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. What? What's that mean? Was Israel ignorant, quote unquote, of God's righteousness? Did Israel, in large part, go about, quote, to establish their own righteousness, unquote? If, quote, all our righteousnesses are as filthy menstrual rags, unquote, would that be a sure prescription for disaster? How then can we, quote, learn to maintain good works, unquote? We began this lesson with news of a spiritual battle of monstrous proportions. Pedophile rings in counties having volunteers trained in hand ballot counting, with the realization that perhaps no American county has escaped this curse. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 5. In particular, we're looking at verses 11 and 12. Does this terror remind us of these two verses of Scripture? Classmates, let me read verse 11. Would you please respond with verse 12? This is our responsive reading. I read first verse 11. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame to even speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Is there anything new under the sun? If any county in America is to enter into his rest, quote unquote, must we receive the instruction from the Scriptures? Back to Hebrews chapter 4. We return to Hebrews chapter 4. Verse 9. Let us read together in unison out of Hebrews 4, verse number 9. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. Is that us? When we recited this verse for the first time in this lesson, were we in unbelief? Was unbelief fatal to the Moses generation to enter into his rest in Canaan land? Did the Joshua generation enter into his rest? Look at verse number 10 in Hebrews chapter 4. Should we observe to obey this instruction? Let's recite together verse 10. For he that has entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Do we recall that our Heavenly Father has agreed to limit himself to working through the local bodies of Christ on earth? Is that because the members of our bodies are yielded unto Christ? Hello? Is that because if we cease from our own works, do we avoid the filthy rags of our righteousnesses? Hello. By virtue of the new birth, born from above, are we new creatures, new creations? When we received Jesus, did we receive power to become, quote unquote, sons of God? John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. Would ceasing from our own works make room for Jesus to do his good works through us? Have we all been working too hard? Is the penultimate or summa cum laude of the doctrine of Sabbaths that we let Jesus do his good works through us? Are we now the sons and daughters of God? Is that our legal standing in heaven right now? Is Jesus doing his good works through us while we await the redemption of our bodies? Is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit giving us the birth from above, the down payment for the redemption of our bodies? Let's go to 1 John chapter 3, verse number 2. 1 John chapter 3, there's a song that comes in verse 1. Behold what manner of love the Father hath given unto us. Behold what manner of love the Father hath given unto us, that we should be called the sons of God. That we should be called the sons of God. Let's read verse 2 together. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Quote, now are we the sons of God, unquote. How now is now. Is this our legal standing in heaven? Are we family now? Do we have the earnest, quote unquote, or the down payment of the Holy Spirit, quote, Christ in you, the hope of glory, unquote, Colossians 1:27, quote. Are we born from above? Are we new creatures, creations? Are all things new? 1 John chapter 3, verse 9. We're still in 1 John. Does his seed remaineth in us? Let's read out of 1 John 3, verse 9. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Sounds a little fishy, doesn't it? Well, a good many of the apostles were fishermen. How good's our hook? Does there appear to be two obstacles obstructing us from entering into his rest? Do unbelief and failure to cease from our own works cause any of our counties to, quote, seem to come short of a promise being left us of entering into his rest? Hebrews 4:1. Have we all been working too hard?